Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. My dear Christian friends, our sermon meditation text is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, beginning at verse 18. Please join me in prayer. Father God, you are our rock and our Redeemer. We pray, O Lord, that the meditations of my heart and the lips that speak your word would not only come through, but be vessels to launch in service to you. In thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. My dear Christian friends of St. John, Jesus is our hope. When all seems lost, when the situation could not appear worse, Jesus is our hope. Consider the perspective of the caterpillar. He lives a pretty lowly life, just crawling along, trying to make it from one point to the next. Suddenly, he feels anxious. If something doesn't change soon, he will burst. So he begins to work frantically, not really understanding what he is doing. Before he knows what has happened, he finds himself closed in, imprisoned. He struggles frantically, wanting nothing more than to be free. He pushes against the walls, trying to get out. Then, when all seems lost, at just the right moment, he is released from his prison. He breaks free and finds his body has changed. He has wings. He has the ability to fly as a new creature, as a butterfly. If he becomes anxious and breaks through the walls too quickly, before its appointed time, his body will bloat. He will be unable to fly and will remain defenseless against the world. Sometimes the very trials that seem to plague our lives are those that God uses to form us into the people that we are. He wants each and every one of us to be great in his kingdom, to be well equipped to serve he and his kingdom. God has not called us into a life of complacency, but a life of action and Christian activity. We are always to be content in the Christ. We also must admit that we struggle against our flesh and ways of the world. The only way that we are to ever make it through this world is through that hope that is found in the Christ. There is much to be learned about a man who statistically, numerically, and perhaps even historically would seem to have been a failure. This man, John the Baptist, was called one of the greatest success stories ever by none other than Jesus Christ. From our lesson, if I may, John's disciples told him about all these things, calling two of them. He sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came before Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask the question, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?" That very time, Jesus cured many. Many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he relayed this message to John's messengers. "Go back and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind, they have received sight. The lame walk. Those who had leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead have been raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about who this man John was. "Would you go out into the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? If not, what is it that you went out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you see? Did you see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written in Malachi 3:1. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Even the tax collectors, those that were despised by the community of Jewish people, when they heard Jesus' word, acknowledged that God's ways were right, because they had been baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as we recall our baptisms as a transformation in our lives, so too did the tax collectors and all who were with John in the Jordan. Life's journey sometimes takes us to places and to points at which we have no answers for. We begin to question ourselves. We may question the motives for our very being in that location. We may ask, am I really doing the right thing as God would want it? Is my faith really that sufficient for God? Is God real? Have I been a fool all these years, going to Bible study and Sunday school and being raised in the church and school, just to find out that my faith has been ill-placed? Does God really love me as I keep hearing, a sinner that I am? Is there really a God out there? The story of St. John the Baptist should offer us encouragement and a rock in which we can stand firm, in that even when it appears that our efforts have wrought no fruit at all, God knows and sees everything that we do on this earth, and he promises that he will bring it to completion in the day of the Lord. Hope, you see, does not begin with us, but with God. We must plant deep within our hearts and spirits the truth that God's ways are never wrong, never in error, that his path is blazed before us, one that we should follow. A Christian lifestyle of holiness and separation, for example, are not wrong. John, as we just learned, lived very modestly. He didn't need any of the world's trappings. He didn't necessarily mix with the world. As he sat in prison, he might have wondered if he should have been more accommodating to all the world had to offer. Sometimes we may think that we may need to attract the world's attention to be more appealing as a church. However, if church becomes comfortable, the warm bed or the allure of the golf course on a Sunday morning will always seem more comfortable. If the church becomes a place of fashion, it will always be just a step behind society's view of fashion. If church becomes pleasing to the world, why would anyone feel they needed to become pleasing to the church? Accommodations, then, is not what we should be doing for our world. From things of the world that seem to be attractive to us should be distance. Holiness and separation, God's way and path, are correct. The church is to be that holy city set on a hill. People should look to us and be envious of the way we live, not the other way around. Not only are God's way never wrong, neither are his words of truth. John might have thought he should have softened his words to accommodate the community that he was addressing. John's life may even have been spared had he have done so. Perhaps his life might have gone on had he not have spoken the truth and not have spoken of Jesus as being the Savior of the world. But that is not what God sent John to this earth to do. For John was not to remain silent. He was to be the herald of the Christ. And I ask you, the members, is that not our task as well, to be heralds and not to remain silent? One of the concerns of the church today is that we may feel those that stand outside our door are just not ready to hear our words, and we don't want to offend them. That we should be more welcoming of them versus they of us. And if God's ways are always right, above reproach, why do we run from confronting people with that truth? Ted Koppel, Nightline host, once quipped, "They're the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions." Knowing that God's words are always correct and always truthful, we should run into our local department stores, retail shops, coffee vendors, and greet people with Merry Christmas and Blessed New Year. We should not allow our society to dictate our Christian walk. If we want to show the true hope of the Christmas season, it becomes moot to hide it under a bush. It may have come to John that he had overemphasized God's point too much. That is why he sat in that prison cell. Maybe he should have gone about things differently. Like instead of attacking society, maybe going along with what they were saying. Yet he, as well as each of us, has chosen the Christ. In his way and our way are truthful. And we should feel that we walk in Christ each and every day. Jesus informs us in John 14:6 that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to God except through him. Jesus said that John was the greatest man on earth, and he would be mightily blessed. Jesus said that whoever followed his words would certainly receive that blessing as well. Whoever believed that Jesus came to this earth to die upon Calvary's hill and rise 3 days later, they would be eternally blessed. If we are not wrong in our hope, and we're still not seeing any results or precious few that we have conversations with, our co-workers, friends, or family members, our hope just seems drained from us. There is good news. Our hope should not be based on what we see, what we may be able to lay hold of, by how many people are in the pews today. For you see, Jesus will accomplish his success story for us in his time and will lead people to him through his Holy Spirit and through you and I and our gentle reminder that Christ came to save the world, but on his time, not ours. My dear friends of St. John, we are not failures in our hope. Your prayers for your children, for your parents, for your friends, have not gone unanswered. There is hope to be found, and that hope, as one of our Advent wreath candles portrays, is to be found in the babe in Bethlehem's manger. Continue, then, your journey in that hope to find the babe waiting with arms open. In his name we pray. Amen. And may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.